Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name, Kerry Stevenson. I'm sure you all know that by now. Today, I've asked David Williams. He is the executive chairman of Thomson Resources. ASX code is TMZ, but they're also on the OTCQB as TMZ with an RF at the end. Now, who are Thomson? I'm going to ask David all about that, but just briefly, they've got a very diverse portfolio of silver, gold, tin, both in New South Wales and in Queensland, and a very good strategy to bring these into development and further down the line into production. David, good to see you. Thank you so much for joining me on Small Caps today.
Hiya, Kerry. I hope you had a great Easter and that sun is shining out there in Brisbane.
It's beautiful up here, and I hope and the Easter bunny arrives, so all's right with the world. That's probably why I'm smiling so much.
Too much chocolate.
Far too much chocolate. David, I really like Thomson Resources, and you know, I've spoken to you in the past. You treat this very much as a business, but before we get into all of that, this is the first time you've talked to our beautiful investor audience. So explain, who are Thomson? I gave him a brief overview, but give an overview, in your words, of who are Thomson Resources.
Thanks, Kerry. Look, Thomson Resources is about being a silver-focused mining producer, focused on northern New South Wales and the border region of Queensland. It is about bringing together a number of projects that have operated, bringing them together in what we call our New England hub and spoke strategy, into producing a long-term commercially sustainable silver-focused mining producer. And there's not many opportunities in Australia for investors to invest in a company like that.
David, what do you mean by the New England fold belt hub and spoke strategy?
Right, yes.
Because there's a lot of words there, but I want to sort of understand, what does that mean? Because as investors, we want to know, are these diverse projects, are they close together? What are you trying to do with this strategy?
Okay, so look, New England fold belt, it's just the geological domain they're in. But if you just think of that central northern part of New South Wales, Inverell, Glen Innes, Tenterfield, that, you know, what they call the Granite Belt, through into, and I love this, Texas and Queensland. I always love telling people, I'm just on my way back from Texas. I'll be able to talk to you in an hour or two. this area was actually a very prolific and active silver-focused mining area in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And essentially, First World War came along, people went off into the war. Number unfortunately didn't come back, but generally people didn't come back into the area, and the world moved on, and so it's been a largely unfocused, unloved area, if I can put it that way. A number of really good projects with resources in that area, which when you look at them each in their own, you say, well, that's not large enough. That's not going to work. Or, you know, people looked at them just for the silver. But hang on, there's other minerals associated with that silver that you could get value for. And so what we set ourselves about, once we'd made that decision that in the second half of 2020, that, okay, we're going to become a silver producer, we could see the gap in the market in Australia. We then looked at these projects and what was around, what was within a reasonable transportation distance so that you could bring the different deposits into a centralized processing facility.
Okay.
That's something that's not unusual in places like Western Australia. I mean, you go and look over in the Western Australia and there'll be a toll mill and people with little deposits and they'll truck their deposits or their ore into the toll mill and away they go. In a sense, this is no different. It's just, well, this is the first time all these projects have been under the one operator, being Thomson, and certainly under the one operator that has got a vision and can think outside the box as to how can I make these work.
Is that what these projects, I mean, how many projects have you got? How far apart are they? And is it this new thinking, do you think, yep, that's going to give value to shareholders going forward?
Absolutely. I mean, you'll never see, I don't believe you would ever see the Webbs project, which is near Emmaville, Glen Innes, or the Conrad project, which is near Inverell, or the Texas District projects come to life and work in a sustainable way on their own. And Texas has already demonstrated that. It's had three different operators that went bust, and they were only focused on the Twin Hills deposit. And I'll come back and talk about that later on. But once you start bringing these together, and we set ourselves a target of having at least 100 million silver equivalent ounces contained in the ground that would be available to a centralized processing facility. And so with Webbs, with Conrad, with the three deposits in Texas, Silver Spur, Twin Hills, Mount Gunyan, and with Mount Carrington, you well and truly have that in previously published resources contained in the ground. Now, then the next question, which you touched on, is, are they close enough? Well, what's interesting is that each of those projects, Mount Carrington, Webbs, Conrad, are an hour and a half's drive away from Texas. So they're all essentially the same distance away, and all within what we consider to be considering what you'll be trucking in a commercially sustainable distance. Then the next issue you've got is, well, that's all very fine. You're not just dealing with a gold deposit and a gold deposit and a gold deposit like you are in Western Australia. You're dealing with Conrad. It's a silver polymetallic deposit. Webbs is a predominantly silver with some other base metals in it. Texas, you've got Silver Spur, which is silver zinc, and moving to Mount Gunyan, which is a silver, gold and zinc. And so you've got all these different deposits. What are you going to be able to process them together? Are you going to be able to get those economies of scale? And so that's why we have been spending a lot of time and effort understanding the mineralization and the metallurgy of each of these deposits. And when you see some of those ASX releases that we've pulled out on the metallurgy of the Texas deposits, which we put out earlier this year, the metallurgy of Conrad, which we put out in August last year, and the metallurgy contained in Webbs, which was in the recent announcement this month, you can start to see this processing pathway is starting to gel. Now, other than Silver Spur, they all work with a grind and vat leach approach. In the case of Silver Spur, because it's high in zinc and you want to get your zinc recoveries, you do a grind and flow. And okay, you might say, how's that going to fit in? Well, that's where this other project, which we don't talk much about, called Mount Carrington, comes into the equation. And Mount Carrington, which is held by White Rock and which we have an earn-in agreement with them, was very focused on a gold-first approach. Now, putting in a small little gold CIL plant and producing the gold out of 170,000 ounce reserve, then go and look at whether you can get the silver out. Now, as we've spent time on dealing with that, as we've spent time in the background understanding what's going on in that area, we could actually see it's got enormous polymetallic potential, not just the gold, and that, in a sense, just dealing with the gold was going to be, in that way, it was going to be a suboptimal development of the project. So we've been having lots of discussions with White Rock about that and about its potentiality, particularly to fit into the hub and spoke approach, understanding how you're best to process the minerals there, and watch this space.
It's interesting. You've got a picture behind you. Which one is that? Which project?
So that is Texas. So that's Texas. The Texas is that. So that's the pit, the Twin Hills pit. Now, you know, that's an interesting one because, and again, illustrates where by people taking a very narrow approach. And you know, I had my general manager exploration, Martin Bennett, who joined us in February this year. Yeah, Martin made the observations. You know, David, there have been three different operators. There have been previous operators on the various deposits at Texas. They've all taken a single view about what is there. No one's gone back and looked at it afresh. He said the first people that have ever done anything about sitting back and looking at it from a district scale is Thompson. And he said, and it's come up with quite a different geological model there and with a different pathway. You know, what we know is that the previous operators, MacMinn, Alcyone and Morton, chose probably the toughest rock to mine in the Twin Hills pit and then chose one of the toughest processing pathways, being a heap leach operation, to extract the silver. And it was all because they were focused on silver and becoming a silver focus quickly and taking advantage of the silver boom. But what we know is, and our back calculation, is that they got about 46% of the silver out of that rock on those heap leach pads, and that was about all that they were going to get from it, because we've recreated the testing ourselves. Now, when you actually take that Twin Hills rock and run it through a grind and vat leach approach, we're getting 80% recovery.
Oh, wow.
And so there's quite a significant difference, which it's what's been so important in this, apart from bringing it all together in this centralized processing, but it's actually understanding your rock, understanding the mineralization, and understanding what is the best pathway to get it out. Now, you know, again, to illustrate that, but each of Mount Gunyan and Twin Hills have a bit of zinc in them, but not a lot. With that grind and vat leach approach, you get pretty poor recoveries of zinc. But, well, okay, we don't really care about that because the value is actually in the silver and a bit of gold that's there. Silver spur is actually quite different because that's pretty much 50-50 silver and zinc. So the zinc is actually very important to get out. So, well, you don't want to run it through that grind and vat leach approach because you're going to lose a lot of value with the in the zinc. If you take a grind and float, so a slightly different pathway, then you're actually getting not only 80% recovery of the silver, but you're getting 90% recovery of the zinc. And so
that hasn't been done before, the way you're looking.
No, that's dead right. So, and it's also looking at it and say, okay, well, each of these deposits has a higher grade core, which was sort of known but not really understood because people were looking at it at the whole of the deposit and at a lower grade, and you know, how do I process that without actually having the luxury, if I can put it that way, of much larger resources behind you and with a focus on, well, silver is key, but let's not lose sight of the value that might be sitting beside it in some of these minerals. So let's look at it that way. And okay, well, is this going to be repeated? And we've just been and just about to complete an IP survey, so a geophysical survey on some previously identified anomalies on Twin Hills itself, so you've got that correlation. And we see a series of these anomalies around in the area, not surprisingly. So we actually think we're going to see a series of these smaller deposits with a higher grade core, where we'll be able to just focus on the higher grade part of it, as opposed to where am I going to get all my silver ounces from out of Texas? Because we know we're going to be able to blend it with ore from Webbs, ore from Conrad, and ultimately, we would hope, ore from Mount Carrington.
And that's where this hub and spoke strategy comes into play, because bringing this all together to a central processing plant is going to make sure that the value is unlocked, because that's what you always say, mining is a business, you treat it like a business. What I want to know, and what my audience I'm sure would like to know, is from now, what is the news flow? Because at the moment we're talking about the deposits and how you can bring them all together. What we want to know is, you know, here we are chatting, coming up, you know, towards the end of April, what's the news flow going to be that you think would give added value going forward?
Right. So the first of those will be, or one of the first of those will be the our mineral resource estimate for Webbs done to JORC 2012. That will then complete the picture. as far as other than Mount Carrington is concerned. It also identifies all the exploration upside. So there's plenty more out there that, and we know through this exercise where to go with that. But that will complete the picture. And I think the first thing is that when that is published, which I'm expecting to be published in May, the investors will be able to look at that total published set of numbers that we have, that, you know, the aggregate resources, the aggregate grade, and then they'll be able to do comparisons with other companies that are silver focused and do the comparisons with the enterprise value of the company versus to resource ounce and do those comparisons, and they'll actually for the first time be able to see with our numbers, which will be very robust numbers and numbers that I will actually be able to talk about, whereas I can't talk about previously published operators' numbers, and do that comparison. And you're going to see how undervalued Thompson Resources is. Now, that's the first part. The second...
Hang on, let me stop you. When are those numbers get... Because that's what people will want to be focused on as well, is when are they going to be able to go, aha, now I see where the value is.
That will be, that's on target for May. So I you know, we're well advanced. I've seen the preliminary numbers. We're doing some fine tuning on it. So that is, you know, subject to another COVID outbreak or something like that taking people away. That will come out in May.
Okay. And is the stronger silver price, now it's not where I think it's going to get to eventually, but it's a lot stronger than it was, I guess, a couple of years ago. Is that really helpful for these projects as well? Because there is a very good silver focus here.
Oh, correct. And look, again, I want to emphasise, and you touched on it, and I've thrown a bit tongue-in-cheek my acronym of MAB. I was involved with a technology company before that was playing around with SaaS, but MAB, mining as a business, and that's what we're about. I could have gone out and rubber stamped those previous resources and said, oh, you know, I'll do some director special holes, and oh, this is fantastic. We're, you know, ramp it all up. Where's the substance? And so, yeah, we had a very quiet news flow second half of 2021 because we were sitting down and doing the work. You know, we were doing all the relogging of the core and the RC chips from all the deposits. We were going through and doing the surface mapping that wasn't there, bringing structural geologists in to try and nut out what was going on geologically, you know, validating all of the databases and filling in the metallurgical gaps. You know, it doesn't produce news, which not great for the share price, but I'm not in it for the now. I'm in this for the long term and delivering, and this is what I talk about when I talk about mining as a business, delivering that long-term commercially sustainable silver focused mining producer in Australia, and that we want to do the job properly, and that job takes time and it takes money. We've broken the back of it. We're nearly to the cusp of effectively completing a scoping study. And we've launched off this centralized processing pathway study, and that'll take, you know, around about 6 to 8 weeks from here. That will then pull together that metallurgical information that we've put out in ASX releases and say, okay, so this is the design of the central processing plant, and this is what the output will be, and here's the high level costing. And then we'll go forward, effectively then we'll kick off the PFS approach in the second half of this year, and we'll start refining that and working out what specifically we need in places and what's the engineering involved and all the other bits and pieces around and get it working on the approvals and so on. But those bits and pieces, the WEBS MRE or the mineral resource estimate, the stage one of that central processing pathway study, the starting to do the drilling in the Texas district, which we'd expect to start in the middle of May and roll into WEBS. And then I suppose also the other one is what we're doing in relation to Mount Carrington and how that all fits into the puzzle. Now, all of this the investor is going to see and going to understand and going to appreciate it is real. Now, and they'll know that before 30th of June. Now, you know, to go back to it, when we pulled all together all the projects and we did that effectively in 4 months from late 2020 to 2021, I didn't at that stage know whether it would all work together. And so we, you know, continued to work on some of the other projects that the company already had before. But you know, we now are seeing with all this work we've done on the metallurgy and the output of that is it is real. It is going to work together.
But the focus, because Thompson have got a number of other projects. Now, we're running out of time, so just want 30 seconds on this. Sorry, I'd love to talk to you for another hour. Don't have the time. The focus is this aggressive focus on that New England belt. You have other projects. Just quickly, is there any focus on them? What are you doing with those?
Yeah, so look, the key that we're working on there, what Thompson had before we made the decision to get in silver was the Lachlan Fold belt with tin and gold, and including the Baigoo world-class tin project down there, and the Chilligo, very early stage, copper, gold, silver in far north Queensland, which was there as counter-seasonal. Now, they're not our major focus at the moment. So we've really been just focusing at the moment on getting Baigoo particularly to that maiden mineral resource estimate and a little bit of drilling on some of the other projects. And then, again, watch this space as to what we do, because we want to make sure our efforts and our focus is on the New England Fold Belt Hub and Spoke project.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before we go, my beautiful viewers know I always ask this, three reasons in nice short package why they should be sitting up and taking a look at Thompson Resources ASX code TMZ right now.
Okay, there are limited Australian silver focus opportunities to invest in. Thompson is one of those. Watch this space as far as silver is concerned and where the silver price goes. And when you look at, as I mentioned, in May and start comparing our enterprise value versus resource ounce with the other silver focus players, you're going to realise how undervalued Thompson is. Secondly, Thompson has demonstrated its ability to deliver its hub and spoke strategy quickly, and now is demonstrating how it is leveraging off tens of millions of dollars spent by previous operators on exploration to get it at the development phase. And the third one, and not to sort of harp on it, but it is mining as a business. We are about delivering a long-term, commercially sustainable Australian silver-focused mine operator.
David Williams, it's very refreshing to hear mining as a business, because that's what it is. After all, investor shareholder funds, it's their money. It's lovely to hear that someone treats it as a business, as do others. I'm not saying that no one else does it, but it is refreshing to see that you've got a strategy, you're working hard on it, you're going at it aggressively. When you've got that mineral resource estimate in May, come back and have a chat with us. Let's talk numbers in May. But for now, thank you so much for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thanks for giving me the time, Kerry, and lovely talking to you again.